This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Off topic, sort of, but we're talking about coaches and the strength and power of the coaching staff. And how much do you think Will Venable can squat?
Yeah, great question.
He's a former player.
That's right. Yeah, he's a Princeton guy.
I was definitely a basketball first guy.
He's a hooper. Council. How about Counts? He played a long time in the majors.
I don't think he's got a good vertical.
No comment on that.
I'm going to tell him you said that, and I'm going to name you.
I'll say it to his face.
I'm going
to
name you.
He won't remember me. It doesn't matter.
Nobody is interested in your takes. I promise. I promise.
So we got Council. We got Venable. Ben Johnson, we know, can squat 405 because he told the world.
You know, I go ass to ankles.
Okay.
And so I probably could get 405 right now.
Whoa.
That's pretty good.
Billy Donovan in his day probably was a good
Billy
squatter.
Billy Donovan was a great ball player.
Weathered some storms.
And I bet he's a better point guard than Will Venable.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
We do have quite a collection of coaches that are pretty good athletes here in town. At least we can say that.
And how can they win?
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Will Venable with his first win as a professional manager. He heard us. He's answering.
Good morning, Mully. Yes. On this Friday, we celebrate the White Sox having their first victory.
Woo-hoo!
Of the Will Venable era.
Are the Cubs stuck on tie? Did I see that? Is that a wrong
statistic? I love
statistic?
It when Dustin says, fly the T. It's a new podcast. Fly the T. Oh, yeah.
He's been desperate to find a name.
Go Cubs go. Tie Cubs tie.
Well, they haven't lost.
Imagine Chicago, what do you say?
Now you sound like Shota. Did you see Shota? He's singing again.
Really?
He's singing again. I think he's out there singing again.
It's
yeah.
Good to know. Show,
opening day starter.
Show
him
and
I. Guitar
ikimasu.
Never. Go Cubs go. Go Cubs go. Hey Chicago, why do you stay? Cubs gonna win today.
Hey, Shota. Let's go.
That was the second that the singer Shota Imanaga was born.
First tour date, Tokyo, March 18th.
I love that guy. He's just so
he has
much
fun.
Fun.
He has fun. And the Sox had some fun yesterday. You're exactly
yes.
right. They got a victory.
Finally.
How about that? Not all good news, though.
No.
Not all good news coming out of Sox camp.
Well, I mean, does it matter?
It does matter. It does matter.
If I'll just say this. They lost Andrew Benintendi. He got hit in the hand.
Yeah.
And I'm not making light of it or anything like that. It's awful to see a player. And they got like maybe three guys whose name you've heard of before.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah. But, I mean, all you got to know about Andrew Benintendi is that if he were any good, he'd have a trade market. Right? Given where this team is at, if he were doing well, they would be able to get rid of him and try to get prospects. They're kind of stuck with him, no offense to anyone.
This is not mentioned to defend or debate Andrew Benintendi's major league status, but when you have one guy in your lineup one of the guys in your lineup who have some maybe proven major league credentials.
Yeah.
And he goes down for 4 to 6 weeks with a broken hand. And you don't have any guarantee that he's going to come back from that broken hand fully healthy, because those are the kind of injuries that linger. That's not a good day.
No, I didn't say it was good. I just said if he were good, then they'd have a trademark. I mean, Luis Robert is their best player and their best name. And he is doesn't have a very robust trademark. And that's why he's here.
Do you have it within? Do you feel bad for Benintendi? At that moment, you saw him go down, though. You were like, "Oh, that's a bad development."
That's how you felt.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Is that not how you felt?
Oh no, I wasn't watching it live. I was running around. I did see it, and I that way I felt was like, "Oh, Andrew Benintendi is down. Who's going to DH?"
They don't really have a good answer to that.
No, they're and as I say,
that's the problem.
He's one of the guys whose name you'd recognize. Not a guy whose game you'd recognize, but a guy whose name you'd recognize.
If they had an injury to one of the infielders competing for one of the several spots available, and he were to go down to an injury, you would think, okay, that's too bad. Now we're going to see who steps up, next man up. They don't really have a next man to go to move up in the outfield.
That is a real problem. Well, they got Michael, what's his name? Michael A. Taylor. Michael, what's his name?
Is but he it? Was Michael A. Taylor. Yeah, was.
So he will start in the outfield with Talkman and with Luis Robert.
But everybody.
But once they trade Luis Robert, you know, they're probably short.
That's why he was here, though. He was here so you could trade Luis Robert Jr.
Benintendi is not a guy that. You know, he doesn't have a great arm. He's not a great outfielder.
No, but he finished strong. He finished with momentum. Now, this interrupted it. That's all.
He got some Sammy homers? Is that what you're telling
me? No, I'm saying that he finished the season with some modest success, and he was building some momentum, and now it's interrupted.
I mean, he wasn't a very good player. They spent $80 million for him. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Andrew Benintendi, but you're right. They don't have a lot behind him. But I don't sit there and
think
lament
was
the
a debate.
Season.
It's a bad loss for a team that has very few proven major league starters.
Yeah, I'm not debating it. You asked me how I felt, and you said you were like, ah. And I was like, eh.
You're indie. If she could choose to be indifferent about, yeah, that's fine.
I hope he's okay. I wish harm on no man. I want him to be healthy and have a robust and wonderful long life. I don't know what else I can say. I feel like he's got enough cabbage. I'm not worried. I'm not going to do a GoFundMe page to help Mr. Andrew.
Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up.
No, I think it reveals a lot of how the general feeling of indifference among White Sox fans. I'm trying to be true to that.
You should lean into your indifference.
Will Venable win with his first victory?
They did get 4-2 over the Guardians, first spring training win. Back at it today, I believe. And the Cubs were tied with the Angels.
Will Venable, Princeton man, you know, we know Council went to Notre Dame. We know Billy went to Providence. We know that... the Bears head coach, Ben Johnson, went to North Carolina. I'm just wondering if we had this athletic competition among them, we know that we'd have the squat competition, we'd have some basketball. What about a Jeopardy game? What about getting those guys together? Those are all pretty bright people. Mm-hmm. And doing sort of an IQ whip around of some sort.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to. I think Billy Donovan could be sneaky good at knowing a little bit about a lot of things. Yeah, I think that he could be pretty good to match up in Jeopardy.
Who would win the math section?
That would be Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson would probably be the most
But Will Venable went to Princeton.
Yeah, Princeton. You said math, not literature. Hmm. If it were literature, it might be Will Venable.
Okay. I'm just wondering. Yeah. All I'm saying is there's a lot of learned men running these teams.
And if we're a business acumen, probably you'd give the nod to the Domer. Good business school at Notre Dame.
Okay.
So these are interesting questions.
Well, it's just that the like a year ago, I would pick Flusie to lose.
Let
playoff.
What? What was wrong with that?
He's gone. He was already, he was ranked 32nd this week. He's out of town. He's gone. Everybody wants to keep kicking that dead horse.
How am I kicking? I'm just saying I don't think I'd want him on my Jeopardy team. What's wrong with saying that?
Because he's irrelevant right now. Any conversation we're having about anybody.
I'm saying I feel like the math department has gotten a boost. That's all. Boy, do you think that's a negative comment?
Yes, I do think it's a negative comment. It's an unnecessary stray.
You know, here's the deal.
You went out of your way to poke at Flusy.
I did not at all. I think
flog Flusy.
We're saying there were a lot of bright guys in charge in Chicago. And I think a year ago, there was a guy that was more myopic in terms of being a football guy.
So this is your way of going indirectly, circuitously around so you can poke fun and make fun of somebody who has a Mid-American Conference school education.
Ah, so this is it.
Of course it is.
This is where
it
comes from.
Yes.
I didn't say a word about the MAC. I just mentioned.
Universities in the Mid-American Conference are fine institutions, even if Northern Illinois wants to leave the conference. I'll still say nice things about the Huskies.
But not in football, right?
No, they're gone.
Oh, I thought that we're...
They are gone.
But I thought they were going to the Horizon League for everything but, right?
And football is Mountain West.
Oh, okay. They're going to Mountain
West. That's the whole reason for the dissolution of the agreement of the exit from the Mid-American Conference. Northern Illinois is looking for greener pastures.
It's not a dumb move. I'm not in terms of the MAC. I'm just saying you want your football team to be in the Big West. You're willing to pay for that travel, but you don't want all of your athletes to have to get on an airplane to compete, right?
Yeah, you probably would want to avoid that from a cost standpoint.
That's all I meant.
Yeah, I suppose.
I know I must have once again stepped on one of the taboo subjects.
You know you triggered me when you started picking on my Mid-American Conference brethren.
I don't think
it's a Friday.
I don't think the MAC went through my mind at all. I thought I was just thinking of the man that I didn't think he'd win in Jeopardy. That's all I was saying.
Sport a phrase for 200. This phrase, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And in 2024, also with the Commanders, who beat the Bears with one of them. Avi.
What is Hail Mary?
Hail Mary is right, yes.
Speaking of Flusy.
I don't think Flusy had gotten that one right.
No, I don't think he would have gotten that one right. He's still looking for that final timeout in his pocket. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
He's got a pocket full of miracles.
The Bears come up quite a bit in Jeopardy, seem to.
Yeah.
They seem to come up quite a bit.
There's a Bear fan there.
Yeah, there must be a Bear fan somewhere
in the staff,
in the origin, the infrastructure of that show. I wonder if there's somebody we're not aware of. We should try to book them, Dustin.
Let's get the guy who came up with the Hail Mary question.
Let's get that guy. And let's ask him what he's thinking. Why is he picking on Flusy? He's gone, but not forgotten. Jeez.
I feel like we just got off to a bad start on a Friday now.
Well, I'm good start.
Because you took it the wrong way.
I'm looking forward to my coffee, my latte, and you got me thinking about defending Flusy.
Are you going
to
have a vanilla latte?
Yes, I need some sugar today.
There you go.
It's Friday. I need some sugar. I need a lot of sugar.
Yeah, you're going to be mainlining it once you get your...
No.
Brandon, would you like a drink? Can we get you a drink from Starbucks?
I know they discontinued a lot of drinks. They're about to. I like my vanilla shake.
Did they streamline their menu? I didn't see that. He has this incredible.
It's the most
Brandon
delicious.
Turns into a 12-year-old when he orders from Starbucks. Like, could I have the vanilla frappuccino sundae, please?
Do you have black coffee at Tasty Freeze?
I don't like black coffee at all. I love some Tasty Freeze. Dustin makes fun of me all the time because I eat like hot chips in the morning. So yeah.
Do you really?
Chips in the morning?
Yeah, I eat hot chips in the morning.
Oh my gosh!
Like is that like a chili killies or something? Throw them in some eggs.
Little flavor.
Huh. Any chip that's got extra red stuff on it.
Really? You like that? Good for you.
Ah, that's spicy.
He's got an iron constitution.
He must have. That morning.
You can't give him a bad stomach.
If it's not yogurt and fruit, I couldn't. Before 10 o'clock, no chance.
Just the odd hot dog.
not before 10. Not before 10. I will have the odd breakfast sandwich. But not a hot dog before 10.
There was a texter yesterday that suggested we'd see David in the bleachers with his shirt off eating a hot dog.
I saw that text. That was very funny.
And I love those Armageddon.
Very improbable. Was that Sammy yesterday or 20 years ago?
Who knows?
Sammy's coming back.
Sammy's back.
Smiling in the dugout yesterday.
Smiling in the dugout, giving Cub hitters hitting tips. And if he's back,
now they have a chance.
Doing commercials. Yeah. Now they have a chance.
They never lost since Sammy's there.
Did you say he was giving them advice?
Yes.
Oh.
He's giving them advice.
I thought you said something else.
No, he's giving them advice. I saw him working with, I think it was Alcantara the other day.
And they had,
and maybe it was Bruhan. One of the guys, and
it was Bruhan.
He's giving him, stepping into the pitch, and he looked like he was doing some coaching. Doing some real coaching.
Mm. He's teaching you the lessons he was taught.
He is teaching all the lessons. And Sammy's got something to lend these young players.
You know, yeah, he can lend it to them. I don't think he'll get it back. Dustin is looking at me like narrow-eyed and shaking his head. What did I do?
Nothing.
Well, you're just trying to stir things up today.
Listen, the whole Mac attack is in your head.
I know.
Okay? I mean, honestly, it never even occurred to me.
Chirp, chirp.
I'm getting it from all yeah. I'm fine.
No, you're not getting anything. No one's giving you our time.
Getting it from all over. I'm being slowly surrounded.
David wants two Mac teams in the NCAA tournament.
Well, there were years where that was not inconceivable. It might not be the case this year.
Not with Northern Illinois jumping ship.
Yeah, I like a lot of people at Northern Illinois. I like a lot of the people out there. I've got to figure out how I'm going to play this because I don't really like them leaving the MAC.
I feel like if the past 40 minutes are any indication, or 15 minutes, it feels like you take this personal when someone leaves the MAC.
I'm trying really hard not
to. You're trying not to take it personal, but it was a direct shot at you.
I'm trying very hard not to take it personally. I'm proud of I'm proud of my association with the Mid-American Conference. I love pulling for those teams in there. I love Tuesday Night Football. So when somebody turns their back to it, I have to rationalize.
And I mean this sincerely. When teams leave the conference or when – like, I'm sure the conference, there were different teams in it when you were playing. Mm-hmm. Do you cheer for the new teams, or do you think of them as interlopers?
That's a really good question, if you care about such things. But, Marshall came to the MAC for a short-term stint,
right?
I wasn't really into it because I just didn't identify as much with, like, Marshall as I did with Western Michigan, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Toledo, Miami of Ohio, Northern Illinois for a long time. So when you're part of that conference, and those teams have been the core teams in that conference, you identify a certain way. You do.
Yeah.
So they're talking to Massachusetts. Who cares about Massachusetts in Ypsilanti? Really?
Dr. J? When he's ever in Ypsilanti?
That's a great poll. Dr. J, Julius Erving, the most famous UMass product ever. I love that.
Come on.
That's awesome. Dr.
Who
J.
Who cares about UMass? Dr. J?
Dr. J does.
It's a question.
He was easily their best player ever, correct?
I was at a buddy of mine's house, and he had all these baseball card-looking basketball cards. He had a collection of them on his wall, and the young lady there looks and says, Lou Alcindor. He's known as Dr. J. No. That is Kareem.
No, that's
Kareem. You're right. There was a name change. It wasn't the nickname. It was very funny. It was just awesome. What an incredible pull to know that Lou Alcindor was a famous basketball player who changed his name. Sadly, wrong guy.
Julius Erving was such a graceful yet powerful athlete. He was just the finger roll, the dunk, the reverse layup. The
giant hands, man.
Yes.
His hands were so big. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the fight he got into with Larry Bird?
Larry Bird, yeah.
Famous fight.
Mm-hmm.
Larry kept calling him. He kept yelling at Charles Barkley, "You going to let this old man cover me?" And apparently everyone was like, and Julius got very upset, ended up throwing some hands.
He never did that in his career. No. He was very composed.
Bird will do that to you.
Yeah, picture of poise.
I've got a black and white 8x10 of Larry Bird and Dr. J holding each other by the neck.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
and
good.
And the remember when they used to do the Great Eight at the United Center? They take the teams from like the Elite Eight from the year before and try to get them all to come to UC. So my dad and I used to go to that tournament every year. Dad's a huge college basketball geek, just can't get enough college hoops. So we're sitting up in the 300 level, and I got my binoculars out. I'm looking down, and the I know who he was scouting for. Maybe the Magic, Dr. J. He's working for somebody.
Huh.
He's sitting with a bunch of guys. So the next night, I bring the eight by ten and a blue sharp, brand new blue Sharpie with me. Look down, I see him. So in between the games, I get down there. And I literally get in that row that he's in, and I sit like two seats from where I saw him sitting. It was all empty. And he comes back down, and I introduce him. Oh, hi, how you doing, you know? And can I get your autograph? He goes, absolutely. Great. I have like a little plastic bag. Pull it out of the sleeve, hand him the Sharpie. He looks at it. Oh, I don't sign that one. I said, okay. I said, he hands it back, and I go reach for the pen. He goes, you don't want my autograph? I go, no, I only wanted it on this.
No way.
Oh, my
got up
God.
And walked
no
away.
Way.
Oh, my God.
That is the biggest,
I
most
got, he dissed
dusted
me.
Story ever.
Yep, he dissed me. I dissed him. I said, no, thank you. I got up
you
and walked away.
You dissed Dr. J after he agreed to sign your autograph?
Well, I
you
wanted
came down
that.
For the 300
I wanted,
level?
I wanted that autographed. I didn't want something else autographed. I wanted that
autographed. You know, I mean, I, the fact that you act surprised when he's the guy that has, you know.
You
I
went
mean,
down from the 300 level.
He's
he
holding,
agreed to sign your autograph.
He's holding grudges against people who have already shuffled off this mortal coil. That's who he
that's
is.
That's classic. Wait
that's,
a second.
But that's Dustin.
So you walked away and you said, fine.
Yeah.
See you, Dr. J.
Turn off, walked away.
Don't want. See, yeah.
The doctor?
The doctor is
was
out.
In.
Yeah.
But gone. Without a,
and then that, if we're talking UMass, if we're talking how about Marcus Camby?
Yeah, Marcus Camby was no Dr. J.
I didn't say that, but I mean for good UMass college basketball players.
That's right. Well,
remember who his coach was at that point?
Marcus Camby?
Camby's coach,
John Calipari.
Very good.
Yep.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Coach Cal.
Coach Cal. Remember him and the Temple coach? Remember that
John Chaney?
That exchange.
Oh, now,
yeah.
See, that would
I'll
be a
kill
good,
him.
That would be a good Jeopardy category.
Oh, sports grudges?
No, sports grudges. Dustin be like, oh. Wow, 500.
Sports.
No, Massachusetts basketball player for 500, Alex.
Yeah.
I think that you could describe Dr. J. Marcus Camby, then who? I know.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I don't know who that would be. I still can't get over that story. You get Dr. J. You scouted him out with binoculars.
So how old were you?
45?
No, I was already. I was in my 20s.
Oh, he was in his 20s. Because you'd have done that when you were 14. If you're kind of the same.
I don't
guy.
Know if I would have had that picture at 14.
Okay. And then Peoria Matt chimes in and put on a collared shirt, Dr. J.
That's pretty good. Yeah, so I walked. I turned my back, took my blue Sharpie, and went back up to the 300 level
where I
belong.
I that is so funny. You know that. You still just could have gotten his autograph.
I had like the grade eight program. I didn't have anything for him to sign. Like I had like the program from the grade eight. Like what good would it have to be of Dr. J's signature on the grade eight? I didn't have a backup picture of him like jumping from the free throw line one handed with like an ABA ball set to dunk. I didn't have that with me. I had a great photo of him and Larry Bird choking each other.
Did he bristle when he saw the photo?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That had to be a one-off then.
And I wondered, because he has done a couple of big autograph shows, and I wondered if he also takes that stance when he's getting paid for the autograph.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. I never knew that he had certain conditions. That must have been a really bad photo.
My brother has a very funny photo. It is Richard Nixon making Elvis an FBI agent in the White House. He like made him an honorary FBI agent. So it's Richard Nixon, Elvis looking full Elvis. Like he's not quite wearing all white in a jumpsuit, but he clearly is like Elvis with the sunglasses. They're shaking hands in the White House after he became an FBI agent.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty
great photo.
Yeah, that'd be a great photo.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Wow. Get that autographed.
No, no. Nixon said he didn't sign that one. And sadly, Elvis was gone by then.
I don't think I'm looking at a list of former Massachusetts players who played in the NBA. Yeah, Marcus Camby, Julius Erving, and the next name listed in terms of games played, Gary Forbes. Long drop-off. Wow. Al Skinner. That'd be a good category.
What? How would it be good if you could
You'd
only
never
name,
guess.
That's what I'm saying.
If you had a category of 200, like if there are five names in the category.
Yeah, you would never click in. The point is, you'd be like, oh, I don't want to lose my money. Don't you lose when you're wrong?
6'7", 220 forward who played with the Pistons and the Golden State Warriors. Who's Lou Rowe?
That's what you need to ask.
Exactly.
Who is Lou Rowe?
Yeah, I bet you he'd have signed a photo.
Eagerly. All right, we got a lot to get to. The Pick Six is next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Are you disappointed that Trey Smith, the best offensive lineman on the free agent market, won't make it to free agency? Chiefs putting that tag on Smith, does that radically change your offseason hopes? What is the Bears' plan B, and how about your plan B?
Yeah, I'm glad it's not my job. I don't know that there are a ton of really good options, frankly. You know, there are definitely players, there are guys. You hear different things. I would imagine that just because one of the better guards in the league is not in free agency, and we kind of suspected that would be the case, that does not mean that you still don't have a need at that position. So they still have to go out and get a player or two in free agency. Maybe Drew Dahlman becomes more of a priority. I know he said he wants to stay in Atlanta, but he's a center who kind of has the right age thing going, that you feel like you could grow with him and he could be there for a while. And that's one of the, do I think Mekhi Becton could be an option? I suppose, but I don't know that he would be. I heard a while ago that the Bears liked Will Fries. I think it's spelled like F-R-E-I-S, but it's pronounced Fries. And he is, I believe, 26, played for the Colts. I think he had an injury. That would be a guy. I mean, what are they going to do at center if they don't sign one in the free agent market? You draft a guy, and I don't know that he's immediately a starter. I don't know how quickly that position goes. It's like the league has changed a lot. And once upon a time, you weren't drafting centers very high. There were a lot of centers. In fact, it was the one position in the league where, generally speaking, you felt you could get a guy on the free agent market and he could be a starting center in the NFL, because a lot of those guys are really hardworking, try hard leader guys that are sometimes undersized, are sometimes just don't kind of match the kind of numbers you need, but it doesn't mean they can't play. So we've seen a lot of guys come into the league that way. But I would definitely think that they still, regardless of whether or not they can get Trey Smith, they need to fill those positions. So I say that you probably need to try to overpay a little to get the center and then get another guard. You still need to sign one. Obviously, it's not going to be for $20+ million a year.
I think this is a good thing. I know. Well, really, Trey Smith, he's good. He's better than anybody the Bears currently have. That's not in question. But almost $25 million for an interior offensive lineman who does not touch the ball. I understand he protects the quarterback, but he does not touch the ball. He does not stop the quarterback. He could stop the quarterback if he can't block. But it's a lot. It's a lot of money. The question is this Atlanta center. I mean, because he's the guy. Like he's there, and again, they've now kind of erased centers, left tackles, right tackle, right guard, left guard. It's what you pay offensive linemen. I would be amazed if the Bears ended up paying 18, even though they have the money, pay $18 million for this guy. No? You wouldn't pay, right? You don't want to pay that kind of money, do you?
I don't think he's going to earn that kind of money.
But I think he's, I just think because.
It's probably in the 15 range at the top of the chart.
Right. I just think. Now your draft is back to you're definitely taking an offensive lineman at 10 instead of having that. That's what it today because we. I mean, they could do something in free agency, mm-hmm. obviously, but now maybe free agency instead of offensive line goes to defensive line and cornerback or defensive line and safety, and then that frees up areas of need on draft day with the offensive line, and maybe you get tricky and you move one of these. You move the left tackle into left guard, maybe.
Yeah, losing Trey Smith before you ever had him is disappointing, but it doesn't have to define your offseason.
Right.
It is one of those situations that it would have been great for them to be in the mix, and he certainly fit on their depth chart and in their locker room and on their payroll. But the Chiefs are smart to keep their best offensive linemen, and it was going to be a long shot that we talked ourselves into believing was possible because of a lot of things. Not the least of which, boy, his girlfriend is from Chicago and all the people is following on social media. But that is no longer possible. So you pivot and you make the best of the situation. Drew Dolman is probably the best of the situation. Making him a $15 million a year center sounds like a lot. But number one, you might get what you pay for. And secondly, you're in a position where you can't afford to overpay. If you are fixated on getting a guy that you believe is a top five center in the game, which I think he checks that box, is at the age where he's in your timeline for winning, which yep. I think he checks that box, and represents a need, a huge need on an offensive line that's going to be revamped. And when you hear Ben Johnson in one of his 23 interviews this week in Indianapolis talk about the importance of the center position and wanting a veteran there, it makes you think that this is the way they're going to pivot. Mekhi Becton might be great, mm-hmm. but there's an indication he's going to stay in Philly. Other guys might be, we don't know as much about, might be good depth pieces. Yeah, this is certainly was a disappointing thing, maybe not terribly surprising, but now the Bears can focus on a center. If they miss out on him as well, then you start to wonder, all right, are you going to focus more on the draft and go maybe a little bit differently in the approach? So this was something, the news you got to react to.
Oh, boy, that's a tough question.
Oh, I can't wait to hear what Biggs thinks about the last question and more of our football questions. How about the White Sox finally winning a game in the Cactus League yesterday, but did it come at a cost? They lost outfielder Andrew Benintendi to a non-displaced fracture in the right hand after being hit on a pitch right in the beginning of the game and missed 4-6. Probably need some rehab assignment time. Benintendi is the highest paid member of the team at just over $17 million and one of the few recognizable names on this team.
Yeah, you don't want to overreact because he wasn't that productive, but at the same time, he was one of the few guys who came to camp and didn't necessarily need to introduce himself to Sox fans because they know who he is, like it or not. They know who he is because he's probably the highest paid free agent and a big disappointment, but he also finished the year strong and you were hoping that he would at least continue that momentum this season. That kind of injury is the one you hope doesn't linger because it could be the kind of thing that frames every disappointment that he has at the plate or the slow start or the long stretch of inconsistency. And just if he gets into a slump, you wonder if he can get out of it because the hand injuries are tough. I don't like this for the White Sox. I know they went out and signed Michael Taylor to a modest contract. I know they have Joey Gallo there as well. But I don't know if they could go out and get somebody else to play because they need bats. They need professional players. They need major leaguers up and down that lineup and in that clubhouse. And they lost one yesterday. Nobody's going to complain because Andrew Benintendi is known as an overpaid disappointment on the South Side. This doesn't change that, but the way he finished and what he was looking forward to with a fresh start this season makes this disappointing to me.
Think about what you just said that there. The overpaid disappointment and $17 million highest paid guy on the team, and he's an overpaid. I'm not disagreeing with you, but just when you hear that, and we were just talking about a center for the Bears making probably more than $18 million in the free agency, you know, $17 million in free agency next year. It's bad, and when you're talking about that, it looked bad. Like, I grabbed my hand as I saw it happen, to be honest with you. And then you wonder, like, when he comes back, like, does he take a hair step back? Right. And then is he reaching, because he's a little bit, you know, it's in your head. Is he a little bit afraid of that inside pitch? Now he takes a step back. So now they work that outside corner. He can't get to it. He's a little bit away. And then, of course, the criticism and the disappointment continues on the South Side.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, they can't afford to lose anyone is the reality of it. And the fact that this guy is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a non-displaced fracture. You know, you have so many bones in your hand, and there's so many things that can go awry, and it's really a dangerous place to get hit. And, you know, you don't know how that will impact his season. But I'm not sure how it'll impact the White Sox season either, to be honest with you. I'm not making light of it, but it's just one of these things. You know, it seems like he just kind of healed that hand, and now he's got a broken hand. You know, I guess whatever. It is just too bad that it happened. We wish no ill on any man, and we hope he gets back and has a good year. But, you know, I mean, he's the highest paid player, and it's just difficult to look at it and think that they're now going to fall apart, because they never really got going. I mean, maybe the greatest irony is that he was injured and then they won.
Can I ask you guys one question?
And here's the next pitch. This is hit in the air. It's hit well out into left center field. Out by the wall, and that one is gone. So Tim Anderson's first hit this spring is a home run. And the Angels on the board early here in the first inning with a 1-0 lead.
Our thanks to the MLB Network for the use of that audio. You also heard Ron Coomer coming in. He'll be with you guys at 8. So, Tim Anderson got the first homer of his spring training against the Cubs, helping his chances of making the team. Who's more likely to start at shortstop for Angels Sox opening day? David Hall will be there at the rate. Anderson for the Angels or Montgomery for the Sox?
Yeah, it was too bad that Colson Montgomery was a scratch in that game because of back issues. He got spasms in his back, and so they scratched him from the game, and that's been a little bit of a boogeyman for him. That might hesitate from my wagering on this, but I would think that Colson Montgomery is more likely to start at shortstop for the White Sox than Tim Anderson is to do so for the Angels. But we'll see. And it'll be interesting to see, because the Sox have other players to kind of cycle through. They got a lot of options. I didn't say good ones, but I don't know that they have determined that that Montgomery is going to be healthy enough or good enough to go.
Yeah, this is an interesting question. I don't root against Tim Anderson. I think things obviously didn't go the way anybody would have wanted here, so he's getting a new lease on things out in Anaheim, and if that's where he ends up, okay. But they're the Angels. Zach Nito is the starting shortstop, but he is out. And on the official depth chart, Tim Anderson is in. So I'm going to say it's more likely that Tim Anderson gets that start on opening day than Colson Montgomery.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm with you, because you talk about a guy who's almost played 1,000 games in the majors. I know he's fallen off the radar, and a lot of that is his own doing. Maybe this is a sign and a step in the right direction and a good sign for the rest of his career. I don't know how long the rest of Tim Anderson's career will last. But he is claims to be starting over. He claims to be a new guy. We'll see. I think I'm more concerned, and what kind of makes you think is that you see Tim Anderson looking familiar, and you see Colson Montgomery, back spasms. Don't like that. Because it doesn't seem like it's the first time we've heard of back spasms associated with Colson Montgomery. And it just makes you a little bit concerned. He showed some good power over the weekend, homering off a lefty. He can go deep, and he's got he looks pretty fit. He looks strong, and he looks like an able-bodied young professional. But back spasms, not good for a shortstop. And he's got to win the job anyway. And if he doesn't, if he misses some time, whatever, you know there are more reasons to doubt him being in the lineup for me than there are maybe Tim Anderson winning a job that's already vacant because of an injury in Anaheim. So I think for right now, I would give Tim Anderson a slight nod starting on opening day, March 27th, with Mike Trout in town and the Anaheim Angels.
We'll see.
Pick six.
Any surprise that Nico Horner won't be making the trip to Japan with the Cubs? Horner had surgery on October 11th, and his rehab has progressed to a point where the Cubs' domestic opener on March the 27th is a more legit possibility.
We're excited about where Nico's at. I think it's all good. This is a good news situation. It's, you know, for Nico, it's not necessarily good news in that just he has to miss two games and has to miss the trip. But on the other side of it, it's good news because I think we were very much like tracking towards opening day, like domestic opening day, of him being in good shape, of him being ready for that and prepared for that.
So your reaction to Nico not taking the Big Bird over to Japan with his Cubs teammates?
I don't like it. I'm a little disappointed. I have to say, maybe even though it's not unexpected, and the fact that he has had this injury and it's nobody's surprise, really, but I don't really like it. And another thing I don't really like, I look at this March 18th game. I'm sorry as Molly starts to laugh, but I cringe a little bit when they say domestic opening day. And domestic opening day.
Right, right.
Look, does the season start on March 18th or not?
Sounds like it.
Does it? Really? Because they're leaving the second baseman at home.
Yep.
They're going to talk themselves out of taking Matt Shaw with them. And, okay, if these games don't matter, why are they counting? So if this is going to be treated like bring your cameras and smartphones and make sure we get all the is this a real regular season game or not? And I know that it's only two games. And Nico's fine, and he'll be fine. But if the trip doesn't matter, why does it matter? I'm working through this, obviously. So, yeah, I was disappointed because I want Nico in the lineup. I want him to play 160 games.
Yeah, I want Nico Horner in the lineup, too. And I bet Nico is disappointed that he's not going to be making the trip. And, listen, they all count. When you miss making Craig Tober by one game, you can look back. So they all matter and they all count. I mean, maybe not today, maybe in a different segment. Maybe this is pick six for Monday. You know, is your third base, second base combo, is it John Birdie and can John Birdie play both? We're expecting the guy to hit here. I mean, you know, Nicky Lopez is going to, you know, is it going to go all the way to Gage Workman? Right,
Yes.
Then we heard yesterday.
Possibly.
Yesterday on the Score, okay, we heard the Cubs TV analyst say there's three or four or five better options than getting to Justin Turner to be your third baseman. And even though Justin Turner is listed as the backup third baseman, the first go, so this is not great news. Could there be worse news? Could he have had a setback? Of course, that would be worse news.
Right.
So all things considered. But, yeah, I mean, we could have, like, a domestic beer and play, like, a drinking game. Every time I hear domestic opener, I'll just take another drink of a Mick Ultra and, you know.
Here's the deal. You ask an excellent question. Is this opening day or not? I mean, you're breaking camp. And you're going to Japan, and you're going to play two games. Then you're coming back to camp, and then March 18th, you will really open the season, because then you will be in the season. So it's a great question. Now, here's the problem. Those games count. So the idea is to win. I get it. You're going over there. You're going to play a couple exhibitions and two games and 162. What does it matter? Let me tell you something. If you were living on the South Side, you know, one more win and you wouldn't be shamed as the worst team in history. So, yeah, a game matters. And I hope it doesn't matter this season because this is kind of a joke. Half your infield's not going to be with you. Half the team, half the infield of the team that you plan on lining up and playing isn't even going to get on the plane. That's not good. That is not good. It's not ideal. I think they'll have cover and they'll do fine, and it won't be the end of the world. But it's hardly ideal. Let's put it that way.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
All right, here we go. Bulls question.
Bulls.
Will the Bulls beat the Raptors tonight? And is Josh Giddey a potential double-double all-star on a good team or a stat stuffer destined to be the best player on a bad team?
Boy, the guy's getting better. Let's go after him. Yeah.
Doesn't it feel that way, though?
Yeah. Well, it feels like he's a stat stuffer. It feels like they had to get rid of Zach so there'd be some room for him to play, and he's the guy that stepped into the abyss and has played better because there's no one else to dominate the ball, and he's able to do that. Yeah, I don't think I think that he has a contract. I think he's playing for the contract. As I've said several times, I'm now comfortable giving him another contract, but I was wondering about that earlier in the year. But I think if they're building a team around him, they're not going to be going anywhere. And I know that's kind of harsh, but maybe he can develop and get better. He's still pretty young. What is he, 23? Is that what we decided? So there's time, but I don't know how. I mean, I would not break the bank, and I wouldn't give him $30 million a year. You'd have to convince me to make it to 20. I think he's like a 17 rather than a $22 million guy.
Aussie. Listen, he's a good player on a bad team. That's what he is right now. He's a good player on a bad team. I think he'd be a player on a good team because his problem as a ball handler is he turns the ball over too much. And we keep hearing Billy Donovan, as much as he wants to prop him up, always falling back to, yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, I'd really like this, but we got to stop turning the ball over. And then you go to the box score, and who turns the ball over the most? Josh Giddey. Interesting that the Bulls are actually favored tonight. -1.5, totals 235 per our friends over at Circus Sports Illinois. We'll hear Chuck and Bill at 6:45. And it's always a big game when Chuck gets to call a game for the Raptors, his old team. He spent over a decade up in Toronto.
It has struck me as noticeable that Josh Giddey has really come on. And, yep, you know, today's the last day in February, and I think he's shot over 50% from three-point range in this month. And he's been a guy that has four double-doubles with 20 or more points, and he has a little niche in Bulls history there. And yet, I don't think that the Josh Giddey respect has been there. And maybe that's appropriate because he doesn't protect the basketball, doesn't play that much defense, but he is also pretty young. He seems like he's been in the NBA forever.
He's 22. He turns 23 in October.
He's 22 years old, and I do wonder if the Bulls have something here. I'm not saying pay him $30 million a year. We had a conversation with Casey Johnson about what he would be worth, and probably north of 20 but less than 25, and somewhere between that might be, based on the NBA marketplace, not a bad investment for a player that could be ascending. If he can play a little bit more serviceable, acceptable defense and get better at protecting the basketball, you might have something here. I don't know if he can be the best player on a playoff team, but he certainly could be a complement. He could be a number two. He could be a third option because he does see the floor well. He has improved his shooting. And I feel better about Josh Giddey at this stage of the season than I thought I would when they brought him here last summer.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
With our guest, Illinois head coach Brad Underwood, 825. How many Big Ten teams look worthy of March Madness? And what's been the most interesting element this season in that league?
Strange year. I don't really see a dominant Big Ten team. There's no Purdue of last year in the Big Ten right now. There's no team that you look at and say they could make the Final Four if this player continues to play at that level. I'm not quite sure. I think that which team I would trust the most, I think there's going to be probably six or seven. Does that sound like it's too many? Probably six or seven-ish. I've paid attention to the Big Ten basketball a little bit more lately. I'm curious what's going on in Indiana because Mike Woodson is out, and curious what's next for them. Purdue, Matt Painter making some noise without Edie this year, kind of interesting. But to me, Dusty May has done a terrific job at Michigan. He'll be the probably coach of the year. Maybe they'll get somebody else in there to maybe unseat him. I don't know. Michigan State, they had the buzzer beater this week. They've got the big victory in Maryland. Tom Izzo made history. Does he have one last run in him? And if he does get to the Final Four, if he can somehow win a title, I don't know if they could do that. But does he walk away? So I think Michigan State right now, to me, is the most interesting element of the Big Ten schedule.
Well, they're the highest-ranked team, and right now Big Ten's got five in the top 25. Maryland may slip, beat at the buzzer last night by Michigan, who the Illini have next. That's a huge game. The Illini and the Wolverines is an absolute must-watch game Sunday afternoon. So I'm looking forward to hearing what Coach Underwood has to say about that one. But, you know, the other day, after the loss to Duke, certain websites had the Illini as a team that needs to do something. So they had that 20-point win against Iowa, but Iowa's, you know, 6-11 in the conference. So that's not necessarily a great win. So this game coming up against Michigan is huge.
Yeah, I think one of the questions you should ask yourself is how many teams from one conference do you want in the NCAA tournament, right? And I think that you got to look at history and how they've done and how many teams have bowed out early, etc. I think 7 or 8 sounds about right. Not much more than that. But, like, you know, the problem you have is that there are not 14 SEC teams you can't just say that two conferences should fill up the NCAAs. It's just not, it's not the way the tournament is built. So I think there needs to be limits to how many teams get in. I get it. Super conferences are developing, but it's a little bit different in basketball. There's still the element of one team on one night. There can be all sorts of wild upsets. What's interesting to me about the Big Ten is, like, in the last week, how many last second length of the court
it's
shots
crazy.
Are going to win games?
It's, gone, you know, it's awesome.
Michigan State, Michigan. Yeah. I mean, it's just been fantastic. So I think that when I look at Illinois, to me they're seventh in the Big Ten. They're kind of on the bubble, and I get it. They've had flu go through the team, and they've been missing people, and it's just the wrong time of year to have that happen. But you know, definitely Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Purdue, Maryland's got a good team.
They do.
Do you like UCLA? See, it's the expanded Big Ten. So I think that there are a lot of teams that can make a
case.
Can we
keep Mick Cronin out just on principle?
And a lot of them are all kind of bottled up. Wow, you really don't like him on principle?
He's kind of a grumpy guy.
Well, so what? Who is? Like, dude, have you heard Dustin tell you how he met Dr. J? You got to find out about that story. It's Mully and Haw. We're going to get to the extra point next on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 the Score.
Have there been any workouts at the NFL Combine that have caught your eye, and will you be paying attention closely to any one player or group of players during the weekend workouts?
Well, I think this weekend the offensive linemen work out, so that'll be what people in Chicago might be waiting for. Got to see how long those arms are for Will Campbell. And I don't know if any other feats of athleticism are important for offensive tackles. Don't really care what their 40 times are. But the arm length is interesting. This combine was dominated yesterday by Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M defensive end. I think he had numbers that put him in like the 99th percentile of all-time combine performances. Better than I think one were considered like legendary, epic performances by Myles Garrett and Montez Sweat. Shamar Stewart is 6'5 and 267. He ran a 4.5940 with a 40-inch vertical and 10-11 broad jump. These are amazing athletic achievements. He had 1.5 sacks last year. He had a sack and a half. That's like a good quarter for Myles Garrett. I know he had 39 pressures, according, and he's playing at Texas A&M, and he's got all the measurables, and he looks great on tape. But he's not getting to the quarterback necessarily, but he looks great on tape. Somebody will take him in the top 10, and somebody will be justifying that pick by looking at what happened yesterday. I don't question that until he's an unproductive NFL defensive lineman. But this is the beauty, and maybe the thing people don't like about the NFL Combine. He looks like a prototypical NFL defensive end that is going to be there and have a decade-long career because he's a tremendous athlete and he can make things happen. So I would say Shamar Stewart.
I mean, the speed at which these guys move down these feet, it's unbelievable how fast they are. It's incredible to watch. I mean, it just when you see them moving down the line, but, I mean, get me in front of the TV. I'm going to set the DVR up. I'm taking a trip this weekend.
Again?
Yeah, I'm going to head to Dayton. Going to an A-10 basketball game tomorrow. Yeah.
Whose autograph will we be seeking this weekend?
Aren't you worried about those Argentinian guys breaking into your house with all this information out there?
Oh, well, go ahead. Take what's there. It's not much.
We digress.
I'll be watching the offensive line.
I think that so far you've had kickers and punters, and you've had workouts from linebackers and defensive ends. So, and that is a great workout. The one you point out, that who's the kid? There's a linebacker that ran pretty well, but I think that when you get into the receivers, when you get to some of the running back stuff's interesting. Who is the guy the Bears drafted? Steven Paya? He had 49. He was a defensive tackle. 49 reps at 225. Yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Holy cow. That's like, do you know how hard, do you know what that means? Like when you can do it 49 times, it means you can like put a house over your head. That's an extraordinary. I mean, there are, I get it. There are base things you should be able to do. I haven't lifted 225 in a long time, but I remember I wasn't going to set Stephen Paya records, right? But you could do it, and you could work out with some weight. But good God, that is 49 times. Can you imagine? Like if you get 30, you've killed the combine. And that guy couldn't play dead. He was not a great player.
Stephen Paya?
No, I mean, no offense to him, but it wasn't like...
Why would he be offended by that?
No, but I'm saying it wasn't like he was this like immovable object in the middle. It was a great skill.
How long did he play for the Bears?
I'm
curious.
He probably played a couple years.
Now I'm curious.
I don't think he was a run stuff. He was a squatty body guy, but he, good God, he was built to... Can you imagine that stuff like that? So I love those things. And obviously, if you're Xavier Worthy, you get drafted in the first round because you run out of the combine.
If you're a traits-driven GM, yesterday you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to draft Shamar Stewart.
And as you say, I would use that information to complement the tape. I would try to, you know... There's no hiding whether you can play or not, and that is out there for everyone to see. So if I saw some of these great workouts and I was overwhelmed by somebody's athletic ability, I would then make sure that the tape matched it. Or I would wonder, is this guy just a workout warrior and can he do anything? There are plenty of guys who have gone to the combine and kind of been able to hit it out of the park because, you know, Dustin's right. That is so fast, but they're also training that way. And in the old days, you used to train a lot more because you had your college season over and you would just train for the combine and make sure that you had everything down. And try not to be fooled by that would be the advice, right?
It's good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That is the pick six. We've got a lot to get to. 312-644-6767. Your dime, your dance floor. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're confident in Kevin.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. They are confident in Kevin, and Kevin has said that, and that's Kevin Warren, and he has said that there will be shovels in the ground in 2025 on the Bears' new stadium project. He's still focusing on downtown, but we have news, rumors,
a little
swirling
update.
Rumors.
I think it's an update because if they're going to get shovels in the ground in 2025, it looks like the Arlington Heights would be the quickest where that could happen. That'd be the site that where you see that's feasible. I don't know about the Chicago sites, but in the Tribune this morning, in other outlets, NBC5 and other places, while downplaying online rumors that the Bears have reached a deal to move to Arlington Heights, a village official said Thursday the team will soon submit important traffic and financial studies of the proposal. Mayor Tom Hayes, Arlington Heights Mayor Tom Hayes, said that reports from local real estate agents that the team had reached a deal to build a new enclosed stadium are speculation, but, quote, we think things are heading in a very positive direction. So next week, there's some meetings. They've got the studies that we referenced, traffic and financial studies. And that's the next step in Arlington Heights, Mully. This seems to be gaining or maybe regaining a little momentum if you're measuring such things. Kevin Warren believed to be in Indianapolis with the contingent of Bears personnel at the NFL Combine. And it still remains the 326 acres of property that they bought for $197 million. And it's theirs.
There have been swirling rumors that, you know, as you mentioned, real estate agents, whatever, there have been rumors of Bears financial people, lawyers, meeting at City Hall in Hoffman Estates. And there is no resolution to this story, but there are plenty of rumors circling the internet, if not the drain.
Yeah, and they made some progress. They had the impasse with the taxing issues in the school districts.
That was a while ago.
And they have cleared that hurdle, and that has
that's a memo, though, right? They have a memo that they've reached a conclude. They don't actually have a long-term conclusion of that.
No, there's nothing long-term. But that was something that was in the way to even get to this point where they're still talking and they still seem to be amicably negotiating. And that's a good sign if you are in favor of that direction of the Bears heading out there. I know a lot of people would love to see them stay in the city. That makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. But feasibility, it's hard to see them building on the lakefront and it's hard to see them getting shovels in the ground at the Michael Reese site. It would have to happen really fast.
Yeah, I think it might have to happen too fast at that site. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I have felt for a long time that the Hoffman Estates thing, if you're really going to get it done this year, that's probably the fastest way to get it done is by building it there, right? Don't you agree?
Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Hoffman Estates. Arlington Heights. Yeah.
Arlington Heights. The old racetrack. I drove by there recently. Yeah. Good God.
No, Mayor Tom Hayes is stepping down from office May 5th. I wonder if we'll have a deal before then.
That's interesting because I had heard that April was a big month for that. So that's interesting. We'll keep our eyes on it, and if there were any more outrageous rumors, we'll certainly let you know. We've got Biggs time next. We'll talk to the football man from the Chicago Tribune. A lot to go over with him. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.